The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
The Bible reading today comes from Jonah chapter 1. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break it up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish."
Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you."
Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you for the kids. Isn't it really cool that you can get a verse in to get your kids to go back to your dad and mum? Well, that's very creative. Well, let's go into a bit of prayer before we get into our word for today. Father God, we come to you as your people. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So this word that we hear today wouldn't be just a word or a script that we hear, but would rather be a script that shapes us to be more like Jesus, and a script for us to be performed, to be part of his mission in this world. Amen. Well, just a bit of an intro. Do we have a slide? Okay, we're doing a series today on Jonah, and one of the most amazing stories in the Old Testament, I think. When I was about 18 or 19, I thought this story was a lot of impossible. I know this is being recorded, so I can't say naughty words. I thought it was impossible or implausible. How on earth or how in the ocean does a person survive in a whale or a great big fish for 3 days, 3 nights? Well, as I got older and I did a little bit of research on Jonah, and you sort of go onto Google and you look into some commentaries, and there are similar types of stories where people have been rescued. Yeah, dolphin stories, yes? Where people have been drowning and a dolphin sort of come, and even people being found in a whale that's been torn, you know, a dead person in a whale's belly. Now, you've got to think of whaling days. That must have happened. Some people must have ended up there. If you're a bit more curious about it, see the bottom of your sheet today. There's a couple places you can go to. But now here's the way I think about it. If the Creator God, who created the whale, yes? Why couldn't the Creator get one of his creations, a whale or a fish to save a person who was drowning. Why couldn't that happen? The Bible is full of supernatural occurrences and miracles. If God can raise Jesus from the dead after 3 days, surely he can enable someone to survive in the mouth or belly of a whale or a huge fish. Jesus talks about the story of Jonah to talk about his own mission. And he says this. Next slide, can we? For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days and three nights, what's that about? In the ancient world, it was the equivalent of saying dead as a dodo. You see, they thought that once a person died, it took 3 days for the person's soul to reach their resting place in the underworld. Right? And if you look in your Old Testament, where it talks about going down to the grave, the word is often in a little footnote, Sheol. Sheol isn't heaven or hell, it's just the resting place of all the departed. Jesus is saying that he will indeed die and be buried, not that he will literally be in the earth for 72 hours. It's just like we say in the Creed, on the third day he rose again. Well, Jesus died on a Friday, and by the same time on Sunday, in a sense, 2 days later by our calculations, he was up and around and playing games on the disciples. But here's the thing. In Jewish thinking, the first day is always number one, Friday, then the Saturday, and on the third day, the Sunday, he rose to life again. Over these next four Sundays, we're going to be looking at the story of Jonah. It's not a story, in a sense, about Jonah. It's actually about God. And if we had to sum up Jonah in one short phrase, it's this. All people matter to God. You matter to God. Every person you know and love matters to God. Every person you don't like and don't love matters to God. Every person on this planet matters to God. Jonah had some issues with that. And sometimes we have issues with that too. But in this series, my hope and prayer is that every one of us would be growing God's heart for lost people. Before we get into the story today, I want to do two little background sketches, first about Israel at the time and then about Assyria. Okay, Jonah is a prophet in the northern kingdom. At this time, there are two parts of the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom Israel, the southern kingdom Judah. We're talking about the northern kingdom. That's where Jonah was from. That's where he prophesied. We have another record of Jonah in 1 Kings, where he prophesied that the northern kingdom would defeat their enemies to the north, the Aramaeans, which they did, and they recaptured all the territory that had belonged to Israel in the days of Kings David and Solomon. They had a succession of excellent seasons on the land, and so prosperity was abounding. They were walking on Easy Street. But here's the thing. You can be doing really well in terms of prosperity, but when it comes to spiritually and morally, that doesn't always equate. Spiritually, the northern kingdom was sort of paying lip service to the Lord, but also worshipping the idols. There's a golden calf set up at Dan in the north and Bethel in the south. They were engaged in the Baal cult, which had been part of the Canaanite worship before Israel came in. And with that also became bizarre sexual practices, sexual fertility rites. And the other thing is lots of injustice. The rich were exploiting the poor. People were being dishonest and ripping each other off. And if you read the prophets of Amos and Hosea, who were around about this time, they were calling people back to the things of God, giving them the warning that if they didn't turn away from their wickedness, God would send another nation to come and chastise them. Well, did the northern kingdom of Israel listen? It seems not, but that's another story. Okay, Assyria. About 900 kilometres to the northeast, Assyria was growing as a world superpower. The Assyrians were known throughout the ancient world as being a ruthless, warmongering, brutal people. The most important city of that area was Nineveh. And we've got the little, can you hold the dot there? There we go, Nineveh, on the Tigris River. Does anybody know what the city of Nineveh is today? It's in the news a fair bit. Mosul, the same city. And one of the things that ISIS has done is they've sort of torn down a lot of the ancient ruins, ancient parts there in that place. So, okay, we know that Nineveh's wickedness had been noticed by the Lord, and they were absolutely ripe for God's judgment. You see, God will allow wickedness for a time, but then there comes a time where God breaks in and he says, no, I've got to shut that down. But God hates destruction. God's preferred plan is that people would turn away from their wickedness instead of encountering his wrath. God's wrath is his holy judgment. So, the Lord commands Jonah, go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Well, Jonah has grown up hating the Assyrians and fearing their atrocities. So what does Jonah do? He does a runner in the opposite direction. It says, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Does anybody know where Tarshish is? Spain. You listened at first service. You cheated. Spain. It's the end of the known world for Middle Eastern people. And it's the opposite direction to Nineveh. I've got a bit of a map here. Tarshish, Joppa's the port he came. That's about 4,000 kilometres. Nineveh's about 900 kilometres away. So he gets on a ship and goes, oh, nah, I ain't going to them. I hate the Assyrians. If God's going to smash them, let God smash them. That'd be really cool in my book. They don't deserve a second chance. They can go to hell. Jonah has a bit of a us and them mentality, doesn't he? He assumes that he and his people are better than them Assyrians. He is smug and self-righteous about being, oh, I'm one of the Israelites, one of God's chosen people. I really like the fact that God has chosen us and loves us. But that mob over there, nah. He is hard-hearted. He just can't fathom why on earth God would want to spare them. I think we call that prejudice, isn't it? Prejudice? You know, you scratch a little bit below the surface of a lot of Australian people and even a lot of Christian people, and it's not long before you discover prejudice. It happens when we start to think we're better than other people, when we look down at other people, when we become judgmental towards them. When we got on our sort of soapbox and say, well, the reason I'm successful is because I've worked really, really hard and made really wise decisions, but that mob over there, no, they've made their bed, they can lie in it. I'm too busy to get on with what I'm doing, I don't give a stuff about them, and so we can become complacent. And let me ask you the question, when we get into that us and them mentality where we really love God's blessing and favour, but we don't want it to fall on them, let me ask you the question, where's Jesus in that? Where's the compassion of Jesus in that? When we jump to the conclusion that we deserve God's favour more than other people, we become self-righteous like Jonah and less like Jesus. It can easily happen among Christian fellowships where we've been Christians for some time, maybe all our lives, and we forget that it's only by the grace of God that we are safe and saved. We can easily forget where we'd be without Christ. We would be dead in our spiritual transgressions and sins. Dead. Spiritually dead. In that condition, we're cut off from God without a hope and without a future. And the only thing we can look forward to is encountering God in his wrath. Well, thank God he didn't leave us in that. Jesus left the comfort of heaven and the glory of heaven and got tangled up in our skin. More than that, he even got tangled up in our sin. And Jesus at the cross took what we deserved. What we deserved. We got nothing to boast about. The only thing we can delight in is that God is a merciful God who's taken the initiative and kindness to reach out and save us. And you know who God wants to share that with? Everyone! It doesn't matter how bent up people get, how messed up, how out of shape people get. God wants to share that same grace and kindness with every person on the planet. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're young or middle-aged or old. It doesn't matter what you've been or what you've done. God wants to reach you. And he wants to reach everyone. The people you know and love. But get this. Even the people you dislike and hate. Even those who commit criminal acts. Or acts of terrorism. Like Jonah, we can have a problem with that. You see, we all want God's favour ourselves. We're not always that sure about sharing that or extending that to others. But let me ask you the question, who does God want to share his love and grace and favour with? Everyone. I think the scriptures are clear that God wants none to perish, but that everyone who believes in his son Jesus will have everlasting life. That's the deal that God offers everyone. Let's get back to Jonah. Jonah hops on a ship to Spain to flee from the Lord. Does he succeed? What happens? Well, God sends a storm. It's really interesting. God sends the storm. Did you get that? God sends the storm. Now, the sailors are at their wit's end to try to get through it. They try to, throw stuff over, lighten the ship. And then they cast lots to work out where the problem lies. The gods must be punishing them. And where's Jonah? He's downstairs stacking Z's. Talk about put your head in the sand. Wake up, blackguard. We're going to drown. We're all asking our gods for help. Get up and start praying to yours too. Well, they cast the lot and it falls to Jonah and they say, well, who are you? Where have you come from? What have you done? Da, 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 da. And in the end, they discover that they're in danger due to Jonah's disobedience. See, in our Western culture, we think, well, it doesn't matter what I do as long as it doesn't affect anyone else. Wrong. Everything we do affects everyone else, particularly the people closest to us. Let me give you a few examples. If a person drops in a car and drives 150 kilometres down a 50 kilometres suburban street and they have a crash, does it just affect the driver? No, it affects a whole heap of people. If they run into someone else, they can kill other people. They can damage property. Someone else is going to have to clean up the mess. It affects people. If a marriage falls apart because someone has an affair, does it only affect the person? No, it affects a whole family, a series of families and a network of friends. If a parent decides, I'm not going to take this Jesus stuff seriously. I'm just going to do my own thing. Well, how on earth then do the kids find out who Jesus is and what it means to follow him? And that sends ripples down for generations. To see what we do and don't do in relation to God has consequences not just for individuals but for communities, yes? Eventually Jonah comes clean. Now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to stop the storm? They say, well, pick me up and throw me into the sea and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Well, they row hard. The storm's getting worse. So the interesting thing is they pray to Jonah's God. They pray to the Lord. Lord, don't hold us accountable for what we're about to do. Into the drink. Throw him overboard. And immediately what happens? Dead calm. The sailors are gobsmacked. They are in awe of Jonah's God, and they make vows to the Lord and offer sacrifices. Let me ask you, what do you think is going through Jonah's heart and mind when he hits the water? What do you think? I'm going to drown. I'm a goner. Woe is me. And maybe it's even resignation. Oh, well, I guess I deserve this. He's going to perish. But then the Lord provides a submersible safety capsule in the form of a whale or great fish. And Jonah gets to have a 3-day spiritual retreat where he gets to reflect a bit on his little bit of a past track record and pray. We will look at that next week. Here's a couple of things I'd like you to reflect and talk about in the week ahead. First of all, when it comes to where you're at with God or where we're at with God, we can run, but you can't hide. You can't hide. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you just can't hide from God. Yet we all do a Jonah. We've all got a bunch of ways we do a Jonah. Here's a few. Perhaps you've been just ignoring God, putting God on the shelf and say, oh yeah, I know God exists and I know he's there. And when I need him, well, then I'll pick him off the shelf. And maybe you're just keeping God at arm's length because you're obsessing with all the things you want to get done in your life. Is there a clear word of the Lord in Scripture, a clear word of Scripture that you know about, but you're saying, I ain't doing it. I'm going to put a bet on myself against that word of the Lord. How's it working out for you? Perhaps there's a person you need to reconcile with, you know. Maybe somebody you need to say sorry to and ask their forgiveness to be reconciled or seek reconciliation. Maybe you're carrying a hurt from the past and it's just been, you're dragging this thing along. Maybe it's time to forgive so you can be free and go on to the next thing. Maybe there's an area of life where you know that God wants you to deal with, but you just put it in the too hard basket. I don't want to go there. You know, when we're trying to run and hide from God, and when we're going in the opposite direction to what he wants us to go, a storm will always come. A storm will always come. You can be running and hiding. You can be asleep in complacency, or you might try to row or push your way through it. But somewhere you will come unstuck. The Lord allows this because he cares for you. He cares for you. He wants to rescue you from the destructive path that you're on. He wants you to draw you closer to Jesus and the plan he has for your life. You see, God knows everything about you, and he wants to do you good, and he wants to do his good through you. Yes, you can run, but you can't hide. And when you know the compassion of God for you in Jesus, why would you want to hide anyway? Wouldn't it be better to find refuge in him? Second point, in Jesus we meet God face to face, and Jesus' invitation and call goes out to everyone. Hey, come, follow me. Come, follow. Friends, what does it mean to follow Jesus? The call of God in Jesus, what does that mean? And how are you responding to that call? How has Jesus been shaping you and growing you as his follower over the last month or so? How does following Jesus impact all the other parts of your life? Is following Jesus an individual pursuit? Or is it a team event? Or both? given that Jesus loves all people, who might Jesus be leading you to take an interest in, to listen to encourage, to influence, help or serve as part of his mission? I doubt if Jesus is calling any of us to go to Mosul to preach to terrorists and call them to repentance. But in your circle of influence, who are you praying for and looking for opportunities to talk about how amazing Jesus is? Sharing Jesus, isn't that what we're on about as a church? You know, reaching into the community with the gospel so that all might know Jesus and worship him. If God can do that with a bunch of pagan sailors through a rebellious prophet like Jonah, just imagine what he could do through us working together. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this story, this masterful story that we, when we look at, down at this story as spectators, we laugh at Jonah and think, well, what a wally. He seems a bit like an embarrassing uncle at the family picnic who seems to take up too much space in the photo. But Lord, as we dig into the story, we see a lot of ourselves too. Lord, we want to become less like Jonah and more like Jesus. So Lord, help us to see other people, particularly different people, through your eyes. And Lord, help us to find opportunities, or you open up opportunities for us to talk about who Jesus is, why he matters, and why the life we've come into is much better than anything we could have without him. To the glory of his name, amen.